Let's turn, please, in the Word of God to the book of Titus and the chapter 1. Reading from the book of Titus and the chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 to 4 together at the beginning of the book. Titus 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Saviour. To Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. May God bless this short reading for his name's sake. During the earthly ministry of the Apostle Paul, there were two young men in particular that Paul was fond of. They were ministers of the gospel. They were fellow helpers and preachers in the cause of Jesus Christ. And the two men who had a burden for the lost. One of them was Timothy. The other was Titus. Timothy was a preacher who labored for the Lord in the metropolitan city of Ephesus, being a major seaport on the coast of modern-day Turkey. There was very much a cosmopolitan crowd passing through Ephesus all the time, with ships calling from various ports across the then known world. And that's where Timothy labored for the Lord. And we find that there was Titus. Titus had been left by the Apostle Paul on the island of Crete to oversee the work of God there. Titus was a Greek believer. He had served the Lord, along with helping the Apostle Paul on different special assignments in the church in Corinth, for example. It appears from the Word of God that Titus had been won to the Savior through Paul's ministry. He refers to him as mine own son after the common faith in the verse 4. It's lovely for a preacher to see a convert through his ministry, progressing on, growing in the Christian life, and then going into the work of God, becoming a preacher themselves. And how heartening that must have been for the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote to Titus and said of him in 2 Corinthians 8 and 23 that he is my partner and fellow laborer concerning you. Paul wrote this letter to Titus to lift his spirits. For in Crete, there were many discouragements in the work of God. There were many wrongs that had crept into the church of Jesus Christ on that island. And there's no doubt that Titus had his fair share of problems. Of course, in every generation, in every era of the gospel, churches need shepherding. They need individuals to lead them. And that was so here on the island of Crete. There were a number of Jewish people who had been saved by the grace of God. They were trying to mix the gospel with Jewish law and setting down preconditions for the Gentiles to come into the church. Then there were Gentile believers, and there were many of them. They'd been saved out of paganism. And they thought now that they had a license just to continue on sinning. Sure, we're going to heaven anyhow. There were many problems for Titus to iron out. And according to chapter 2, verses 11 to 15, we can deduct that the Cretans were not easy people to work with. And therefore, Titus needed patience to work with them. He needed to show love. Very hard place to labour. And you know, it would have been very easy for Titus to look for a call somewhere else. But he didn't. He stuck at it. And in his introductory remarks here, Paul emphasizes the importance of the Word of God. In the verse 1, he mentions the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. I don't have to tell the people like this here in Kilkeel that the truth is important. The truth is always important. It's important in every era, especially when we come to divine truth. This area, I'm sure that you live in, has many errors as far as religion is concerned. We think of Ireland, and Ireland is full of religious errors. I don't have to remind you this evening that there's a lot of fiction about as far as religion is concerned. Therefore, the truth is absolutely important. And so often, the truth has been sold. The truth has been compromised, and there's many counterfeits about. Many counterfeits in Ireland tonight that pass for the gospel. There were many counterfeits also on the island of Crete, and there's many counterfeits at the Plough'n. There's different religious groups will come. They'll set up their wee tent, their wee stall, and everything else, and they'll give out their so-called religious literature. How important, therefore, to be a beacon for the truth at the Plough'n. And we praise God for those who have acknowledged the truth through the Plough'n, and we will be mentioning some of them in our report in a wee while's time. Let's consider tonight very quickly the acknowledging of the truth. First of all, let's notice the subject in the text. The subject in our text is the word truth. Whenever you and I think of the word truth, well, that's the Bible. That includes the prophecies in the Word of God. It includes the poetical books in Scripture. It includes the historical books, the doctrinal books. It includes the revelations that are given in God's Word, the principles that are laid down. Collectively, to you and me, it's all known as the truth. When we think of the Old Testament, there were many examples that foreshadowed the truth who was to come. You can think of Isaac as a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaac was the obedient son, carried the wood on his back up Mount Moriah for the sacrifice. A wonderful picture of Christ. Lord Jesus was the beloved son, the obedient son, carried the cross on which he would be led. We can think of Samson. And maybe some would say, but he's not a great example. So look what he did. Yes, he had his flaws. But being a judge over Israel, and he was an Old Testament type of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of how the angel appeared to his mother long before Samson was born, and foretold of the birth of a son who would rise up to be a deliverer. Isn't that so with the Lord Jesus? Think of the message that was relayed to Mary by the angel Gabriel, the one who would be the deliverer. You think of how Samson slew more in his death than he did in his life. Well, friends, we could say the same about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's more that have come to him in salvation because of his death on the cross than happened during his earthly ministry. And the truth was fulfilled in all of these many types that were foreshadowed in the Old Testament. The truth spoke and pointed towards good things that were to come. It pointed towards the promise of the coming of a Savior and the blessings of salvation that were all wrapped up in him. There is much in Ireland this evening that is false as far as the truth is concerned. You think of in Roman Catholicism how there's Mary worship. They have their indulgences. They have their confessional box. There's the celibacy of priests and nuns, purgatory, and the list goes on. And as far as Romanism is concerned this evening, there's an untold multitude of people that have turned away from religion. And they've turned away from religion because of what has been going on in recent years within the Church of Rome in Ireland. Ireland tonight, friends, is a secular country. It's very much akin to France. France was looked upon at one time as a staunch Roman Catholic country, but you look at France tonight, and I don't have to tell you that it's one of the most secular countries in Europe. So too is Ireland. You think of the recent referendum that there have been on same-sex marriage, on abortion, and everything else. And the Irish people have rejected the voice of the Church of Rome. And that's why, friend, there's a need to be a beacon for the truth at the Plough, to be a light there, a witness for the Lord, and to give out the scriptures, and to give out the gospel calendars, and to make the gospel known. Secondly, let's notice the special characteristic of the truth. Our text tells us it's after godliness. It's after godliness. That shows to you and me tonight the source of the truth that comes from God. It's truth, therefore, when received, produces godliness in an individual's life. Regeneration is by the word of truth. It is that incorruptible seed planted in the heart, breathed upon by the Spirit of God. And when a sinner is saved through sanctification, God says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. It produces growth in a life. And the truth of the gospel is something that men and women need, because it produces godliness. There's a change in society. There's a change in an individual's demeanor. I don't have to remind you tonight that Romanism has produced anything but godliness. It's absent from Roman Catholic clergy. You look at the abuses that there have been, and you think of their tradition. They hang on to tradition far more than the Word of God. There's very little that is godly about the priesthood tonight, because there's been no change. There's been no inward work done in the heart. Regeneration has been absent. And it's just the blind leading the blind. Multitudes have been led astray, lost in a lost eternity. That special characteristic of the truth is absent this evening. Thirdly, there's the receiving of the truth. And you notice the word acknowledging. When we think of that word acknowledging, there's an acknowledging of the truth that is right. And on that individual's part, there's an accepting of it. There's a believing of it in the heart. And there's an open profession of it in the life that is now lived. It is evidenced in that person's conduct, and there's an abiding attachment to it. There's a desire to go to God's house. There's a desire to pray. There's a desire for fellowship amongst God's people. There's a holding fast to the truth and a cleaving to it and a living of it in the life. Praise God, folks. There has been an acknowledging of the truth at the Irish Plough Championships. There's been many encouragements over the years. God's blessing has come down upon that marquee. Many have received the truth in calendar form. Very happy to receive the Farman calendar. Many have lifted a Bible from the table, a New Testament. And we praise God for the acknowledging of the truth and a receiving of it. But we pray that those who have received the Word of God printed form and copies of the Scriptures and Gospel literature and so on, that there will be a receiving of the truth in the heart. And then an abiding in it. A holding fast of it. And a coming to Him who is the way, the truth and the life. Sharing in the blessings of the gospel. We do thank you for your prayers for the work of God in the ploughing championships. I know some of you have been down, and we can remember seeing some of you a lot of years ago down there at the ploughing. Well, folks, because of COVID, there was no ploughing this year or last year. But there's still a lot of work going on behind the scenes. And I will mention some of that at the end of the report. But when we were there in Fenna in County Carlow the last time, you know, the Lord was tremendously good to the whole team. The weather was excellent. And whenever we were setting up our stall, you don't go down and set up your tent. It's all done for you. It's all laid out. And you find the allocated number that you've been given, and they leave the chairs and tables inside. You arrange it whatever way you want, and so on. Whenever we arrived the last time, well, we were stuck at one end of the show. And we thought, well, this just isn't the best of a location. But over the hedge from where we were was what was known as the Brown Car Park. You're coming from different parts of Ireland. You're coming from Cork, Kerry, for example. Well, you will be directed by the Garda into a car park to correspond with the route that you've been sent in. And there's a huge helium balloon sticking hundreds of feet up in the air, whatever colour it might be, brown, purple or whatever. So if you get lost in the show, you just look up in the sky for the brown balloon and you head that direction, you'll get eventually to your car. Well, we were just beside the Brown Car Park from all traffic coming from Cork, Kerry and Limerick. And friends, we were the first point of call. We were in the first row as those people came into the show. Right from the start, there on the Tuesday morning, there were people from that end of the country coming into the marquee, the wee lady from Dunmanway in West Cork. We've got to know this wee woman over the last number of years. She comes faithfully. She's a Christian wee woman. Goes to faith mission meetings down there in Dunmanway. She comes every year for 20 to 25 calendars to give them out in that farming community in which she lives, and she keeps them till Christmas time. Another wee man from Cork City. He worked for Cork County Council. He's a real Irish name. He's called Paddy O'Sullivan. Maybe you'll remember him after the report is over. Paddy O'Sullivan took the literature and he began to ask questions about what we do. He says, do you preach? He says, we do. Many's in your church. He says, there's about 30. Well, he says, you've got more than our chapel. Do you have any young people going to your church? We told him we did. We had a Bible class for them. He says, there's no young people coming to our chapel. And that wee man just opened up, friend, about the gospel. And maybe for about 10 minutes he listened. And he took it in and he asked questions, the most friendly and chatty sort. And that's the type of people that are coming into the marquee. The Irish people, friend, are very open. There's a warmth to them. If you've ever had a conversation with somebody from Cork or Kerry, especially from West Cork and Kerry, I'll tell you, you really have to strain your ears because they're hard to make out. Just last year when we advertised in the Irish Farmers Journal, the calendar because there was no ploughing. Well, we had a phone call from a wee woman from Skibbereen. It's hard enough to make her out over the phone. But then she gives you her address to send the calendar to, and the address is in Irish. And you just can't make her out. And you put her over the address, and you spell it out, and you break it down, and now you've got it wrong. And you maybe go over it 5 or 6 times. You know, they've a tremendous accent. But you know, friend, there's a warmth to Irish people. Many people up here have this stereotyped notion in their mind of what Irish people are, and they associate it with republicanism. Friend, that's very wrong. They are good people. We share this island with them. And Patrick had a love for them. I believe we should as well. And there's people just like Paddy O'Sullivan who will come and stand and listen to the gospel. Yes, to them it's alien. They've never heard it before. But they're hearing the truth. Another wee man called Eugene Mitchell. He was from East Galway. He told us that his granda was a Presbyterian minister in County Galway. But now he has a cousin who is a priest and another cousin who is a nun. This man was once a metropolitan policeman in London. And he saw Martin Luther's little booklet there on the Reformation, and he started to talk about Luther. Wasn't he hung, drawn, and quartered? No. He just died an ordinary, natural death. Oh, he says, that's not what we were taught in school. And he started to talk about Martin Luther, and we started to tell him a wee bit about the Reformation, and then he says, well, what church are you? And we told him we're Free Presbyterian. He says, oh, my granddad was a Presbyterian minister. And obviously there was a wee turn there somewhere along the line. You know, friend, there's another individual, 15 minutes, just standing there, one question fired out after another about who Jesus Christ is, about the Bible. Where did it come from? How do we know it's right? And our brother Paul McManus from Enniskillen, a converted Roman Catholic, we have his testimony on CD. We give it to him. He took a Bible with him. And also that booklet of Martin Luther. We're speaking to a young lad by the name of Shane in his early 20s from Leathermore in Connemara. And he started to open up to us about how he was saved 7 years ago. He got fed up with the scandals in the Roman Catholic Church. And being away out there in Connemara, there's very little Christian witness. And so he started to look on the internet. God led him to a Reformed Baptist church in America. And through listening to the messages on the internet, Shane was gloriously saved. He now goes to a Baptist church not too far away from where he is. And Shane was there on the Calvin Christian bookshop stand at the plough. And there are other Christians down there doing a work for God at the ploughing, and Shane was there witnessing for the Saviour. My friend, there's just an example of how God is working in hearts. There, people do have a hunger for the Word of God, and there are those who are searching for it. Just after lunchtime on the Tuesday, there was a wee man came into the tent, and he saw the sign above the book table where we were, "Ye must be born again." Now, we mention them briefly on the DVD tonight, but it's not possible to go into the detail on a DVD to tell the story. You know, friend, the very first thing he said to us, "Can you tell me how I can be born again?" What a question. And him just only in the tent. What a question to ask. We explained to John the way of salvation as best we could. And to illustrate the new birth, We asked him, "What's your surname?" He says, "Slattery." We says, "John, when did you become a Slattery?" He didn't understand what we meant. And so we asked him, "Well, when did you take on the name of Slattery?" Well, he says, "The day I was born." He says, "John, that's exactly it. You become a Christian when you're the moment you're born into God's family." You know, friend, it was like a light bulb moment. You know, he says, "I pray to John Paul II above my bed every night." He has a holy picture of JP2 above his bed. We didn't knock him for that. He says, "You know, it's good to pray. It's good to confess, John, and we confess our sins, and you and I can go directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need to go through anybody else." We told him how the Lord has done it all and how you can be saved. Told him of our own testimony very briefly. He says, "I would like to do that." Now, there was no pressure put upon John whatsoever. And we says, "John, it's entirely your call. It's entirely your decision." And we put him over the gospel again. He spoke about going to confession the week before the ploughing. And he come away very, very disappointed. And he says, "No, I would like to do what you're talking about." I says, "John, if you would like to be saved, we can go down to the back of the partition at the back of the marquee. We'll take a seat each. Nobody will see us. We're in privacy. We can show you how you can be saved. Would you like to do that?" "Yes, I would." Down we went to the back of the marquee and showed him three verses of Scripture very simply. Told him how you can be saved. "John, if you'd like to be saved, will you repeat these words after me?" He says, "You may go slow, for I'm hard of hearing." And we did. And friend, that wee man asked the Lord into his heart. You know, whenever he said amen, there was tears were tripping down his cheeks. He says, "I've turned a corner now. And young man, there's no going back for me." He says, "This is the best day of my life, and I'm glad I met you." We took him out from the back of the partition, and we introduced him to other members of the team. Gave him a Bible, Dick Cho's book, No Longer Searching, and Reverend Larry Parr's testimony on CD, and her brother Paul McManus's testimony on CD as well. John Slattery, folks, is from Gary Spillane in County Limerick. He was 78 years of age. You remember that wee man in your prayers? Shortly after he left, a young lad, aged 19, was there with a group of friends. They were standing around the door of the tent and they wanted a calendar each. And this young lad was a wee bit more inquisitive than the rest of them. So he sent his friends on. He says, "I'll catch up with you. I want to speak to this man." First thing he asked was, "What's Presbyterianism?" So we began to talk to him a wee bit about the history of Presbyterianism. Told him the blessings that Presbyterianism has been to Ireland and how Presbyterianism has largely brought democracy. Showed him how in Presbyterianism, individuals are elected onto the session and committee. Well, he says, "I'd glad like to do that." He says, "Aaron, before you can become a Presbyterian, you need to become a born-again Christian." He had heard of the term. His mother was Church of Ireland. His father was Roman Catholic. And he was from Carlow Town. We told him that the first step you need to take, Aaron, is to acknowledge your sin and come to Christ. And again, we used the illustration of the family surname. Explained to him the way of salvation. And to cut a long story short, after about 20 minutes, Aaron says, "I'd like to get saved." And same thing, friend, down to the back of the marquee. That young lad asked the Lord into his heart. We give him John Blanchard's little booklet, Ultimate Questions, Bible, Dick Cho's booklet, No Longer Searching, other items of literature as well. God tremendously blessed at the Plough in County Carlow. Coming into the next day, there were many individuals that we met. A man by the name of John Paul Rice. He, standing at the book table, he started to talk about these prayer groups that he runs. We were very encouraged by that, having these house meetings and prayer meetings. But you know, the more we spoke to him, we detected from the conversation that this man is not saved. And this man's a Roman Catholic. We told him about the testimony CDs that we had in front of us. And these men are converted Roman Catholics. Oh, what's that? You'd never heard of it before. I began to explain to him then. And again, friend, he says, you know, I'm searching. He says, you know, of the ideal thing for you. Here's a booklet, No Longer Searching, by a man from Thurles in Tipperary. Maybe you've heard of him, Dick Kew. He says, I've heard of the name. And he started to talk about various Roman Catholic doctrines and so on. There's a man who was searching for the truth. Isn't it great to be a light for Christ at the ploughing? I think of another individual by the name of Tom Dowley, converted Roman Catholic, who does door-to-door evangelism in Kilkenny City for the Presbyterian Church in Kilkenny. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Presbyterian Church in Kilkenny City, but it is a very thriving and growing congregation, especially as far as foreign migrants are concerned. And there is an evangelical wing, and this man was employed as the door-to-door worker by that church in Kilkenny City. We were very encouraged to hear about this man. And he told us that in the year previous he had seen three people converted to Christ around the doors in Kilkenny City. You know, sometimes we think there's nobody like us. And there's nobody else doing outreach apart from us. Friend, there's many others involved in the work of God. There are things that we do not agree with. And so on, of course, that's true. But there's many others, and God is using them as a cog in the engine to bring others to himself. I think of a man called Oliver Smith from Coot Hill in Cavan. He was walking past the book table. Says to him, did you get a calendar? He says, no, I didn't. He says, I'll take one for I have the one I got last year hanging in my office. He says to him, we do meetings to raise money for the ploughing so we can give this out free to the people. Do you mind telling me where your office is so I can use it as an illustration? He says, not at all. He says, I work for the HSE and the HSE office in Mullingar. And so the conversation started. He started to talk about the abortion referendum. And he prayed that it would never be imposed upon you folks, he says, you boys across the border. You know, folks, we just let him speak. And it was just like a train, just one topic after another. We let him go on. He spoke about his disbelief in different Roman Catholic doctrines. And again, it's highlighted in the DVE tonight, but we couldn't go into great detail in the recording. He says, I'm going to use a term that you might not agree with. I says, go on ahead. He says, I'm trying to break free from the whore of Babylon. Did you ever hear the like of it, friend? There's a man who had been reading up about Roman Catholic doctrines, saw how it was portrayed in the Word of God. I am trying to break free from the whore of Babylon. I smiled. I says, I agree entirely with your language. He spoke about purgatory and the Pope and everything else, and how he disagreed with these Roman Catholic doctrines. And after he had gone on and on, we turned it around to salvation. I told him, you know, Oliver, salvation's a very pressing matter. Explained to him how he could be saved. He says, I know that. I've read about that. He says, I know what I have to do. says, Oliver, that's good that you know. And we told him about a man the year before who was at the ploughing, heading home in the train to Limerick. He died in the train. Says, Oliver, you mightn't get home tonight to Coot Hill. Where would your soul be in eternity? He says, I know, I need to be saved. There's a Roman Catholic friend who had been digging and searching. Explained to him our own testimony very briefly. He says, I'd like to be saved. And so again, down to the back of the tent, that man from Coot Hill asked the Lord into his heart. We told him about our congregation in Corrigarry. It's only about 5 miles from Coot Hill. He says, I know folks that go to Calvin Baptist. Well, I says, Oliver, I'm not telling you where to go. That's entirely your call. But you need to go somewhere where you're going to be fed as a born-again believer and where you will grow in grace. Coming into the Thursday, and I'm soon to be finished, folks, the wee woman made a mistake. She went to the marquee and she says, is this the Holy Mary stand? And one says, no. Now, we knew where it was. There's 3 marquees up from us. But we didn't tell her that. It was a Legion of Mary stand. The wee woman was all in a fluster. She told us how her son was a drug addict. And he has crashed in life. And she says, have you anything for him? Well, we sent home a little tract called King Heroin that we had in the marquee table. Gave her a Bible and John Blanchard's booklet, Ultimate Questions. Didn't bombard her with a lot of literature. Told her to take that home and give her the gospel. You know that Legion of Mary stand? All they had was these wee pieces of paper. About that size there. And they were charging 50 cents for it. Little prayer for someone to be canonized or beatified. They had little plastic tubes about that length of holy water. And these wee blue cheapies, plastic beads. And a wee set of instructions on how to say the rosary, and that was all. And that's what that wee woman was looking for. Is this the Holy Mary stand? And if she had went there, maybe that's all she'd have got to take home to her poor son. You know, there's no mistakes with God. We pray that the Lord will speak through that witness. Don't know what come from it. And again, it's great to be a light for the Lord at the ploughing. There were 20,000 calendars distributed from the 2 marquees that we had. From the book table, the Bibles, there were 174 taken. We don't give them out. They're taken from by the people as they pass by. There were 93 New Testaments taken. Over that 3-day period, there were 297,000 people at the show. It's huge. It's the largest outdoor agricultural event in all of Europe. And it covers 700 acres of ground. It's massive. Those of you that have been down at it can testify to that end. If you ever get a chance to go down to the ploughing, book a day off work and head on, you'll enjoy it. It's a long way down, of course, but it's good to see it. You'll never get round the whole thing in a day. But friends, I trust that you'll remember to pray for the Irish people at the ploughing championships. You know, after the show was over, about 6 weeks after the show, there's a wee woman from Jonesboro in South Armagh made her way to the Let the Bible Speak shop in Banbridge. Her brother had been down at the show. I take it he was one of these old bachelor farmers that lifts everything that's free, that's going and takes it home and never looks at it. Well, that's what he did. He came into the marquee and he filled his bag. Took all sorts of literature and he set it on the kitchen table when he got home. And his sister was coming in to clean the house for him. And she noticed the bag of literature and she opened it up and she started to read it. You know, friends, about 6 weeks after the show was over, that woman was saved. And she passed the literature to her cousin. And her cousin was saved. And she knew the link between the address on the back of the calendar and the shop in Banbridge, and she had to tell it. She went in and told it to the wee woman in the shop in Banbridge. Isn't that tremendous, folks? What a wonderful opening. All because of the ploughing. No show last year, but we still brought out the calendar. We advertised it in the Farm and Life in the newsletter and also in the Irish Farmer's Journal. And through those two newspapers, plus all the contacts that we have over the years, posting calendars at Christmas and the New Year, there were 1,217 calendars posted. That takes a lot of money. And friend, that's where you come in. And that's where deputation meetings like this come in. Because it's your money that's raised on a meeting like this goes to fund this project. We might be able to give out the Word of God free in calendar form to the people. Give them those Bibles and order them from TBS and buy them in bulk. And all the other kinds of literature that we need as well. We praise God for that wonderful opening. I want to thank you, friends, for your prayers and for your practical support for the ploughing over these years. It's meetings like this that keeps it going. And tonight, I have the calendars with me for 2022. Unfortunately, there's a New Holland in the front. We have to do it, folks. There's never been a New Holland before. And some blue fans have been given off over the years. We've done it this year. We've been backsliding, I know. I'm only joking. But these calendars are there as you leave the church tonight. Now, we're selling them for £1. And if you don't have £1 with you, don't worry. Take it with you anyhow. And take as many as you want. I have a whole pile of them here. And if you would like some, take them with you. And they go very well, I have to say. There's a farming scene for every month of the year. And there's a wee gospel message in the inside cover. We have 16,500 of these printed for 2022. Even though there was no ploughing, there's still work going on. We did Balmoral Show. We're going to the Winter Fair now in December. And we, God willing, will be advertising in the Farmer's Journal and the newsletter, again, the Farm and Life. And there's different individuals that order calendars every year, give them out in their area. Our own wee church in Convoy, we give out about 1,800 around the local rural area. It takes a long time to do it. And so the amount of calendars mounts up every year that you have to get printed. And this is where meetings like this come in. And we trust that you'll remember the work of God in Ireland, friend, that you'll take it upon your heart. The championships are penciled in for 2022. And the date has been given. The venue has been given as Rathniska in County Laois. It's about 9 or 10 miles from Port Laois and about 3 miles from Stradbally. And so we pray that God will bless what has been said tonight to your heart. It'll be a challenge to you. And maybe you'll remember some of the names that have been mentioned. Be able to pray for these individuals that we have highlighted to you. I want to thank you for listening. I'm sorry for going on a wee bit. But it's a wonderful outreach. It's a blessing to be involved in it. And it's a privilege to be a part of it. And we really enjoy the ploughing outreach. It is tremendous. And again, we leave it before you. And pray that you'll remember it before the Lord. And come down and see us at work as well. We're going to hand over to our brother, and there's a presentation to show somewhere, and I'm going to let him take over and show it to you. Thank you.
The Irish National Ploughing Championships commenced with the first ever inter-county ploughing competition in Corstown, Athy, on Monday the 16th of February 1931. The championships soon became an important all-Ireland event, held in September of each year, and now attracts around 300,000 visitors over the three-day event. It has expanded from a site requiring 26 acres to needing over 700 acres of land today. This includes 180 acres for ploughing, 100 acres for trade stands, and 400 acres car parking nearby.
The Free Presbyterian Church had its first witness at the Ploughing Championship somewhere around 1998. It came about because I used to watch it on the television and the news reports for about a couple of years beforehand. It's held in the September and the RTE would send a film crew over. And I used to see all the great crowds of people and usually meeting around the Midlands. And although I had a little work going on Cork, yet nevertheless, you were always looking for an opportunity to evangelise a little further. So I got on the telephone to the Reverend Gordon Dane, who at that time was the minister in Corrigera, Free Presbyterian Church, and also with Mr. Desi McComb, who was working under the mission board as an evangelist round the border area. And it wasn't hard to persuade these men to come along and they gave us a hand. We went to Wexford and all we had was just a big tent to stay in, and I can just remember how cold it was even in September. But we went in and we took gospel tracts with us, and I can distinctly remember saying to the men, this isn't just a matter of evangelising now, let's keep our eyes and ears open, let's survey the land as it were, because I have a feeling that we will be coming back again. We just paid our money to go in. We give out the tracts, people would stop and talk, what's this? And we had many good opportunities. And then, of course, when we wanted to put up a stall, we had to declare our hand what we were doing. But we ran into no problems whatsoever with that. They seemed happy enough, as they have been all these years, for us to come along. At the beginning, we were running this on a very tight budget, a shoestring budget, just wasn't the money to spare. And what we had originally was just a little parasol on a little picnic table, one of these little cheapies that you get out of one of the garden centres, and we had a great time with that. We then moved up into using a small market stall that I had been given, and that gave us a canvas over it, and then we moved from that to where we are today, into a marquee, and that's when the whole witness took on a whole new dimension.
The Presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church shared the burden to spread the gospel message throughout Ireland and offered wholehearted support for more resources, both in personnel and finance. We were heartened and encouraged with the opportunity for outreach at the annual ploughing championships. Consequently, a larger team are sent each September and facilities are rented which provide space to welcome and give opportunity for personal witness with visitors, especially relating to spiritual matters. From very humble beginnings, but with the prayers and support of God's people, the work has grown substantially. Now our presbytery sends a team of at least 12 people to do evangelism at the annual event in the Republic of Ireland. We give glory to God for thousands of souls who have been reached and for those who have been saved as a result. The ploughing championships attract international visitors and thousands of Irish people from every county in the island. Venues include various places like Kinnegad, Tullamore, Portlaoise, Athy, Carlow, Kilkenny, Hugh Ross, and Cork. Each September, with a full load of literature and equipment, a team of up to 15 people travel south for the venue that year. After passing through the trade entrance queue, the team get busy unloading equipment and materials, and the many hands begin the task of setting up the tent for the outreach. Everything must be in place before the crowds arrive. Patrons have individual preferences amongst the wide variety of attractions and activities on offer over the 3 days. They make their way on foot and by various means to their area of choice in the vast 700-acre site, which is home to the championship for that year. When visitors explore the exhibitors' displays, often there are opportunities to witness as they pass the tent. Team members take every chance to pass on gospel literature and sometimes are able to engage in personal witness when people enter the tent for a cuppa or to browse the literature on display.
The book table in our marquee at the Ploughing plays a very important part in our outreach every year. The book table is placed at the entrance to the marquee. At the corner of the book table, the Bibles and New Testaments are strategically placed so that it is the first item that the people see on the way in. And when people are told that the literature is free on the book table, many are surprised at that fact and they wonder how that could be. They're often told that someone else has paid that you might have it for free. Often that is followed by the line that that's just like the gospel and how the Lord Jesus Christ has paid for the debt for our sin on the cross and how he offers us his free salvation. And generally speaking, after that, the conversations begin to open up. On the book table, we have our Bibles and New Testaments that are all free, and the gospel prints that have been produced, farming scenes upon them in postcard form with an accompanying gospel text, which proved to be very popular indeed. Also, we have farming bookmarks with that flavour upon them, with a little gospel message on the back in 80 to 100 words in length. We have many items of literature geared towards children and free tracts and gospel booklets and so on the table. This past year, 174 Bibles were taken from the table and 93 New Testaments. Indeed, there was one teacher, a primary school teacher from Portlaoise, who took with him 60 of those prints for the little children in his class. Another teacher, an RE teacher from Clane in County Kildare, took 12 Bibles with him for his RE class that they might be in class for the pupils to make use of during their lessons.
As already mentioned, the trade exhibits occupy a huge area of around 100 acres. This makes it unlikely that patrons will be able to visit all displays in the course of a single day. Therefore, for several years, the outreach team took the initiative to contact more people by distributing gospel calendars in the aisles throughout the show. Unfortunately, this practice has had to cease because show officials decided to implement a policy of restricting distribution of leaflets and flyers to the area immediately outside a trader's own display stand. Obviously, this would have the effect of reducing the number of people reached with gospel literature. To counter this restriction, the Ploughing outreach team now hire a small stand at another location in the exhibition area, and some members of the team relocate to the second smaller stand and use this additional base as another distribution point. This has helped to reach a maximum number of visitors. Please pray that this door of opportunity will remain open in the years to come. The team distributed 20,000 gospel calendars that had been produced for the occasion. And what a wonderful blessing it was to have 20,000 with us and all 20,000 distributed. And it was lovely to see people with a readiness and a willingness to receive the gospel calendar. Early on the Tuesday morning, one Christian lady from Dunmanway in County Cork came to the book table and requested for 25 of those calendars. She would come annually to receive a quantity of calendars, and she would keep them until Christmas and give them out to her neighbours around that farming part of County Cork. And what a wonderful blessing it is to know that God's word is going forth independently of the team who work down there at the ploughing. Another lady from County Tipperary, who works in a home for 16 retired priests, has been coming to the marquee now for a number of years, and she came to renew the contact and to gather up more items of literature and calendars to take home for those priests. Indeed, a couple of years ago, two of those priests in that home had requested that while she was at the ploughing that she make a call to our marquee and that she come home with literature for them. What a blessing that is to know and to understand that God is working here, there and yonder across Ireland. We were greatly encouraged. The Lord was good, and we thank him for his mercies and for the liberty that we have to proclaim his word.
The wide variety of interests catered for at the championships helps to attract the 300,000 visitors each and every year. It can be a very enjoyable experience and a time when patrons can watch the competition, browse the stands, or perhaps pamper their nostalgic pleasures. The pleasant environment, however, cannot always be guaranteed. Sometimes the September weather is unsuitable for maximum enjoyment and indulging in nostalgia. The muddy conditions have even left the team grounded for a period, literally stuck in the mud. Poor weather and heavy rain can flood more than the outside areas, but the important job of witnessing in the tent carries on, even in adverse conditions. Perhaps the most challenging is when the wind blows a severe gale, and that condition lasts for hours on end. In a recent year, the storms were so heavy that the show had to be closed for a day, and events rescheduled to an extra day by extending the event. While havoc was created by the winds, the stands being tumbled or ripped apart, we are thankful to the Lord that the gospel outreach stand was not severely damaged. Young and old alike are happy that the weather is often much more kind. Perhaps that's what ensures a popular annual event.
We received great encouragement indeed. On the Tuesday of the outreach, one elderly gentleman aged 78 came up to the book table, and the first question he asked was, "Can you tell me how I could be born again?" This gentleman had been searching for the truth. He had been to confession the week before and had come away very disappointed. He came into the marquee with many questions to ask. And what a question to ask in opening up a conversation. As he was witnessed to, the gospel was made clear to him and of how he could be saved and born again. Towards the end of the conversation, he said, I would like to do that. And at the end of the conversation, he went down to the back of the marquee and he was shown the way of salvation and pointed to Christ. When he had prayed the sinner's prayer, the first thing he said was, I have turned a corner now. This is the best day of my life. And I am no longer searching. That little man is from County Limerick. And what a blessing to meet him. And it was obvious that the Lord had been working and preparing in his heart prior to the ploughing. Shortly after he left, another young man, aged 19, from County Carlow, was asking similar questions. The first question he asked was, what is Presbyterianism? He was told what Presbyterianism is. He was also told that the first step that you need to take is becoming a born-again Christian. When that was explained to him, and after quite a lengthy conversation, that young lad also went down to the back of the marquee and asked the Lord to be his Saviour.
While people of all ages engage in the activities and competitions offered on the day, some better prepared and more skilled than others, we long that they may become aware of their common spiritual need. It's only by having Christ that they can have genuine hope for the future.
A gentleman had visited the book table and had taken a calendar home with him, and the conversation started. He said, I'm going to use a term that maybe you will not agree with. I am trying to break free from the whore of Babylon. We told him we agree very much with his statement. And he started to tell of how he was studying from the scriptures and saw how incompatible the doctrines of the Roman Catholic Church were to the Word of God. After he had spoken at length, he started to witness to him about the need for his soul. He knew of his need of salvation. He knew what he needed to do. He was only a step away from the kingdom. And again, that man from County Cavan went down to the back of the marquee behind the partition and asked the Lord into his heart. And what a wonderful thrill that was for everyone in the team. Gave everyone a lift. And we saw how the Lord had been working in hearts up until the ploughing. That was a wonderful blessing indeed.
It is vital that those who are witnessing at the ploughing outreach should be guided and assisted by the Holy Spirit as to how and when to approach a visitor on spiritual matters. Striking up a conversation is key, and being a good listener is just as important as positively witnessing for the Lord when the opportunity arises. While the team rejoices in those who have found saving faith in Christ at the ploughing and elsewhere as a result, the work is largely a case of sowing the good seed of the word amongst those who have never heard the good news of the gospel. May the precious seed fall on well-prepared and well-cultivated soil. Today in Ireland, many have turned from religion to materialism and worldly pleasures. Others are still trying to work their way to heaven and involved in idol worship and praying to the saints for help, unaware that salvation can be found by faith alone in Christ alone.
On behalf of the Ploughing Outreach team, I want to thank you for your prayerful, practical and financial support of this work. By your faithful support, the outreach at the Irish National Ploughing Championships has now been maintained for over 20 years. This has meant that thousands of people from the Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland, and Great Britain, and further afield, have been reached with the gospel. Also, the Ploughing Outreach team must thank the Lord that souls have been saved and believers have been blessed through this witness. With the words of 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, we can say, Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and the verse number 11, Paul says, ye also helping together by prayer for us. And by these words, he was telling the Corinthians that they had been a help to him in his missionary labours by their prayers. Likewise, child of God, by your prayers, you too can be a great help and encouragement to the outreach team at the Ploughing Championships. And as you continue to pray, for God will be honoured through the witness. Pray that the door will ever remain open. Pray that the Lord will give wisdom to the team in all their plans. Pray for favourable weather and safety for all involved, for the right location for the marquee, and that hearts would be open and receptive to God's word, and that sinners would be saved and believers would be encouraged, and that the Lord might use the witness even to open up other doors for the preaching of the gospel in the Irish Republic. Thank you for your interest, and may the Lord bless you also in your witness and service for God. And may we do all that we can to spread the gospel, for the Bible tells us the night cometh when no man can work.